This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 209, recorded Monday, July 21st, 2014, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Jerry Jones.
Oh, wait, I don't know that I'm Jerry Jones.
Jerry, what did you do with your accent that you told me you didn't have?
I lost it.
Okay. If anybody hadn't guessed, that isn't Jerry Jones. Doesn't sound like him.
No.
Jerry Jones, at last report, was in Ecuador. Actually, he hasn't reported in, so we're assuming he's in Ecuador. But that is our special guest host for the week. Say hi, special guest host.
Hello, this is Dan Fry, former guest on the show.
Yes.
How you doing?
Dan last appeared in episode number 146, version 1 and version 2, because there were two versions of that episode because we had mumble issues, and we haven't actually tried mumble since.
I don't know, we use it all the time on the tech show, and it seems to work pretty well.
I know, I actually think I fixed the problem, but we haven't gotten around to trying it again. I switched to a computer that had a little more horsepower from an Atom-based system over to an old Celeron.
Mm. Yeah, that would be fine.
So you're somewhat different than Jerry Jones, just philosophically. To cover a few things, as far as I know, you are not against Raspberry Pis?
No, I have one. It's sitting here. I don't know what to do with it yet, but it's been sitting here for quite some time.
I have a stack of three of them, and I don't know what to do with them. I just keep buying them.
I hear a lot of people are making weather stations out of them.
That sounds like fun. But now they have the B+, which is exactly the same as the B, only more ports.
Yes, and smaller ports.
Well, yeah, now they've doubled up the composite port with the audio out. And apparently better sound processing and a few other things. Micro SD cards.
More USB ports, micro SD card slot. Yep, replaces the SD card slot.
Well, it looks interesting, but so far I haven't finished up with my three existing Pis, or my Pi camera.
And there are so many right now that are out there, you know, these small form factors, Atom boards and whatnot. There's a lot of things you can do with them. I wish I had the time to kind of really sit and play with it.
Well, I only have the other one I use, which is the BeagleBone, which I got to replace the Pi because I needed a small portable streamer. So
gotcha.
That's what streams the show when I'm not available, when I don't have the full equipment available.
Yeah, they're solid little boards.
Yeah. But it's been an exciting week. I might actually ask your advice about this.
Let me say one thing real quick. Yeah. You mentioned that Jerry's down in Ecuador.
Yeah.
I would just like to give a shout out to my brother Tony. It's his birthday today, and he is in Costa Rica. So they're not too far off from one another,
aren't they?
Yeah. Well, let's just say they're down in
they're in the same general. They're both in South America.
Hemisphere. Yeah, in South America. So he's on vacation with his girlfriend, and it's his birthday today. So
okay, happy birthday to Dan's brother
Tony.
Well, I just said it that way because recently people were referring to me by my brother's name. I was thinking about that.
Oh, okay.
I went to a pizza place where my brother worked when he was in high school. And, you know, they never remember my name.
What? Oh, they thought you were him?
No, they know I'm not him. They just never remember my name. I'm just always his brother.
Gotcha.
Always fun to be known as his brother. Actually, I don't object to it. He is my brother.
At least it's not his sister, right?
Well, I tried to trade him in when we were kids, but nobody wanted him. But I have a problem you might be able to help me with, or maybe some of the listeners could.
Okay.
Well, I got a phone call earlier this evening with an emergency call for my personal tech support services that I provide to immediate family members. My mother was in crisis.
Oh.
She was in the bathroom, and her cell phone slipped.
Is this a technical problem? Oh.
Slipped out of her pocket and into the toilet.
Uh-huh. Slipped out of her pocket, you say?
That's her story, and she's sticking to it.
Okay.
So,
all right, Mom, I believe you. Go ahead.
I told her it wasn't covered by warranty.
No.
Especially since I'm the one who sold her the phone. She bought my old Galaxy S3 when I left Verizon.
Oh, okay.
At well below market value, I'll have you know. Anyway,
I should hope so.
She offered to subsidize the purchase of its replacement. I thought that was very generous of her. As part of the deal, I agreed to give her lifetime technical support. which counts as the first time I've been paid for the hours of technical support I've given her.
Gotcha.
Of course, on the other hand, she's given me hours of bringing me into the world and a few other things, so I figure it balances out somewhere. Probably so
does,
on her side.
Does the rice trick work in this case? I know the S5 has a seal in it, so you should be able to drop it in the toilet or anything else that has a...
Yeah, but
you
it's
know,
the S3, the older
version. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think. My wife has an S3, and I'm trying to think if it's ever had any water damage. No, I don't think it's had any water damage to it.
Well, the thing is, she fished it out of the toilet and started using it, and it seemed to work, but now it does not seem to.
Oh.
So I advised her to leave take out the battery and leave it out overnight. I told her that had she called me immediately afterwards, I would have suggested that she do that immediately and put it into rice. Mm-hmm. She asked why I didn't, mostly because she didn't call me before starting to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So now she is potentially without phone. I recommend that she let it rest overnight and see what happens.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't hurt to throw that in the bag of rice too, just to see.
I suggest,
you know, I mean,
I suggested it, but I don't think she's going to do it because I don't think she has any rice.
Oh, okay.
She's more of a pilaf person. It comes in a mix. I don't think she has an actual bag of uncooked rice.
Well, it's always good to keep around for that on the go bag when you need to quick run out the door, right? In the event of an apocalypse.
Do you prepare for an apocalypse now?
No, I'm just saying.
Okay, well, I will keep that in mind, and I will tell her to keep that in mind as well. But my other problem is she has told me that she very much needs a phone and is considering renewing her Verizon contract, which would
do you not want her to renew her Verizon contract
And pay $70 more a month and lock herself into a 2-year contract.
What is she in now?
Legacy, unlimited data. Limited minutes. So if she renewed, they'd switch her over to the new unlimited minutes, limited data plan. And she doesn't necessarily use enough data for that to be a problem.
Right.
But I did the math. It's about $70 more a month.
Yikes.
Yeah, well, that's one of those fun things that they don't mention. Rate hike. I tried to convince her to change carriers, even if she went over to Verizon Prepaid, which has just announced that they're joining the LTE family. Actually, this week, I believe, that they announced that prepaid on Verizon will now allow access to 4G, where previously it was limited to 3G. Then I think they're offering a promotional plan with 1 gigabyte, unlimited data and minutes for $45. Not unlimited data, unlimited text and minutes.
Is getting a new phone in the picture, or...
Well, I'm thinking of going back to Swappa and getting her another S3.
Uh-huh.
I can get one for $140.
That's a decent price, I guess, for a phone.
Well,
I mean, for a used phone, for specifically for Verizon. So.
Well, I looked. Anything newer would be over $200, but you know, she's in a rush. So overrule me and go to the store and end up... But if you do the math, if I buy her a $140 phone, now, if she renews her contract, she's going to have to pay $200 for a phone. She'll be paying roughly $70 more a month, which means $840 a year.
Yeah.
Hardly seems worth it.
Yeah, it does hardly seem worth it. I would wait for the shipping on the swap. If in the meantime, if she wants, get a burner phone. You know what I mean? You get those little throwaway packs at Walmart or whatever.
Yeah, but she needs her phone number. She conducts a lot of business on the phone. Business being personal business. She's currently retired, but she's been dealing with the long-term care people for my grandparents. So she doesn't want to miss calls from them and me. Apparently, I'm very important to her.
Well, she should be able to at least get the voicemails. You can do that, right? Most of the cell providers now provide a way to get it while you're not on the phone, right?
Yeah, well, I told her that I would ship her the old Droid 3 that she used to have, which I still have sitting here somewhere, so that she could transfer the number over, but that would be going back to 3G, which is not necessarily the end of the world, but it means...
Is she set up to use Wi-Fi when she's at the house?
Did I set it up? Yes. Does she always remember? No. She was worried that she might lose all the data on her phone. I pointed out that I had been backing it up to the cloud for her for years.
Yeah. All the contacts and all that.
Well, the contacts go to Google, and I set up Dropbox's automatic camera upload for her. So I'm actually able to back up every single picture she takes.
Oh, that's good.
I was reminding her how I've been trying to do this for about 20 years now. When she used to have two computers back in the late 90s, and she wanted what she accessed on each computer to be completely identical. I actually built... That's how I started out doing certain Linux projects. I actually built a Samba server, a Linux file server, and set up Windows profile sharing so that she would be able to do what effectively everybody can do nowadays. Ah, the good old days.
Wow. That's taken back a few years. Jeez.
Well, not only... I essentially built something to cope with the fact that my mother expected her documents to be available on every system without her saving them to at the time. Even then, this was the start of when people were doing USB drives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So basically, she expected her data to be identical everywhere, but she didn't want to go through the trouble of putting it onto something she could move from computer to computer. Also, she lost about 10 USB drives during her last... She never, in her defense, she never actually used any of the ones I bought for her. I used to buy her these USB drives. She used to write her name on them,
mm-hmm.
put them
they
away,
end up, and they end up in the washing machine.
Oh, purse. She clean out her purse 3 years later and say, "Oh, that's where that went."
Yeah.
But so I'm going to have to figure this out. And since she's down in Florida with my grandparents, I have to figure out how to deliver to her technical support from New York, which should be interesting. She's going to suggest I fly down to Florida to solve her problem.
Well, you can't you take it into the store and say, "Listen, you know, I need to switch this over. My mom broke her phone, and I need to just transfer it so I can ship it to her." Wouldn't they do that for you?
Well, nowadays Verizon's using SIM cards. If she can get the SIM card out of the phone and it isn't damaged, she can go to a Verizon store and they'll do it for her. Or even if the SIM card is locked in the phone,
mm-hmm. She
can go in there and they'll activate a new SIM card for her. They won't give her any trouble with that. I'm afraid they'll try to sell her something.
Yeah.
And it's not that she's not a savvy person. She's not tech savvy, but she's a fairly savvy individual in general. But last time she got into the situation, she actually put me on the phone with the store rep, and that didn't mm-hmm. go well
nope.
for the store rep. Anyway, there have been some other interesting things this week. Did you know that yesterday was the 45th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing?
I did know that. It was pretty amazing stuff, too. Actually, around here, Lehigh University is not too far from where I live, and there is a former astronaut of the Challenger. I think it was the fifth Challenger mission.
Which one? As if I could name all Hart. Of the astronauts.
His name is Hart. His last name was Hart. I want to say it's like Tony Hart or Troy Hart or something like that. And they were putting on a demonstration here. There's this local place that's associated with another college called Cedar Crest College called the Da Vinci Center for Science and Learning or something like that. And they had this whole demonstration going on yesterday. You could Skype with another astronaut at the time. You can meet with this particular astronaut, and he's a professor at Lehigh University, which is a big, you know, science university around here.
Terry Jonathan Hart.
Yeah, Terry Hart. That's what it was. Yep. So they had I wanted to get over to this thing, but it was it really sounded pretty amazing what they were doing. To kind of promote like the space program and what took place, you know, 45 years ago and everything. So really, really something, really neat stuff.
And Murph in the chat room has pointed out that today is there's also another anniversary, the 25th anniversary of the release of Weird Al's UHF.
And it coincides with the release of his new album out right now.
Well, I think he's done several since then, but I know this is the first one that he's promoted very heavily to the point at which admittedly, people have always been fans of Weird Al, but to the point to which mainstream has noticed is the release of an album, because he's always been sort of fringe.
I've heard some of the stuff on it. It's really good. So I haven't gotten it myself yet, but from what I heard, I was really digging. So I would recommend people to check it out.
I saw some of the music videos that they were posting. I also saw him being interviewed on Fox Business.
Yeah, I think he was on, like, my wife had on the ABC Nightly News or whatever, and that was, or not night, is that what it is? Whatever is that, 6:30 on ABC. They had it on there, and I'm, with everything going on in the Middle East and the plane, you know, being shot down and stuff like that, and there's Weird Al on
the surprisingly, news. He's a surprisingly good promoter, you have to give him that.
Oh, he's a genius. He's like Mensa smart, and, you know, I don't know, he's highly regarded in those communities.
And he was in the Naked Gun movie.
Well, that's right, he was.
I miss Leslie Nielsen. Oh, well. Moving along, apparently the agency that regulates the internet, the FCC, apparently can't get the budget to upgrade its own website.
So what are they running? Has anybody tried to sniff on that at all? Or?
Well, they're running the proprietary system that they created years earlier. The thing is that apparently during the comments about net neutrality, the system frequently had become overloaded. So somebody sort of asked somebody there why, and they got this long answer about how they can't get the budget to upgrade their website to any sort of modern system. So it's essentially an archaic reporting system that
Apache's free, Nginx is free.
Well,
why can't they do something out of the box here and look at something open source that could handle this for them?
Well, basically, they need something that can handle the large amount of comments, and there are open source pieces of software, mm-hmm. but they'd have to hire somebody to do the custom coding that they need in order to adapt those things for their use. It's not the server. It's the comment logging system. Basically, all the comments have to be logged. It's essentially, you know, government information. Most of their application portfolio is more than 10 years old, and 70% of their IT portfolio depends on deprecated legacy technologies.
I got a side company that does websites. I will give them a good deal. You tell them to give me a call.
But I understand. My company has, you know, a corporate intranet where they put up information for employees.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing is maintained by one person whose primary job is to do something else and who updates it using a copy of Microsoft Dreamweaver.
Oh, that is awful. Yeah. Awful, awful software.
So I went to them and I said, okay, I will bring in an old piece of junk computer, hook it into the network, run, you know, I'll do, you know, I know WordPress. I would do that. I said, I'll do some sort of open source CMS and it'll take 5 seconds for anybody to upload it. And the response from our IT department was, we don't want anything like that in our server room. So,
yeah, because they apparently have somebody in there running it to the best that it possibly can right now. If they can't even have somebody update the website, jeez.
Well, actually, the IT department isn't responsible for updating the website.
They should be responsible for maintaining it.
Right? No.
The operations behind it, I mean?
The web server is something that they're running. However, they've been trying to get the budget to buy something. They can't get the budget to buy something, so we're stuck with it.
Again, open source. It is free to try. I don't understand what the aversion is for. I deal with it. Yeah, I dealt with it at my company. I eventually got them to see that it was the right, you know, way to go to run the website. Previously, they were running their entire website on a mainframe. I'm like, we don't need this for doing this, and it's a bitch to. I'm sorry. It's a pain to update, and it's you know, and difficult to deal with when we have all of these other, you know, options available to us. Let's switch to something else, and we eventually did, and it's been running strong, you know, ever since.
Well, I'd send you after my company's IT department, but they're scary. The head of IT and I have interesting conversations because
mm-hmm.
I'm not in the IT department, but yet I have strong opinions. Moving along, Mozilla released Moz JPEG 2.0, which will improve compression by an average of 5% on JPEG images.
And apparently, how does this compare to what Google did with the WebP? Is it WebP?
Well, that's basically coming up with a new standard.
Well, right, I get that.
Basically, what they're doing is they're improving the encoding of an existing standard.
Mm-hmm.
So they're making JPEG be encoded better. So it doesn't really require, since it's an encoder, not a decoder, it doesn't require anything new on the side of the person viewing it. So basically, it only requires changes for people who are encoding new images, not a single change for somebody who just wants to look. And there's an advantage to that, because you can't expect your users to upgrade.
I think they should start to consider swapping out JPEGs for something else. I mean, they have been around forever, and these are just minuscule, you know, advances that they're making. I agree, I give them all the benefit, you know, say, hey, this is great. This is great what you can do with it. I see you have here that Facebook also donated some money to it. They probably could have donated some more, you know, considering how much money they have.
Isn't so bad, just for ongoing development of one little open source project.
Yeah, I mean, they got money to spare. I mean, hell, they could even add some developer time if they needed to, right? I don't know. I think JPEGs have had their issues over the years and whatnot, and they're slow. I mean, if you don't do them right, they could end up grainy and whatnot. And some of these other lighter portable ones are much more suited to the web, especially when you're talking mobile web, you know, when your bandwidth is potentially limited and whatnot.
I was having it recently about, I was looking for a WordPress plugin.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking, and I kept saying, well, all the plugins haven't been updated in 2 or 3 years. And somebody commented to me, does that mean that there's something wrong with them? And basically, just because something has been around for a while doesn't necessarily mean that there's something wrong with it. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's not reasonably good. So I wouldn't necessarily assume just because they're improving something that's around, that just because that's old means that it should be replaced as opposed to be.
I'm not just saying replace it because it's old. I'm saying it was built for a different time, and they're able to increase this by 5%. How many times have they been able to increase it by 5% over the last, you know, how many years? You know, is it significant to load, you know, to load these things in a much more, you know, faster method, you know, especially with the rise of the mobile web and stuff like that. So,
well, I encode small things as PNG, but I still encode photos using JPEG. I don't think WebP has the distribution.
No, I don't think it does either.
Of course, if people don't use it, no, but it will never have the distribution.
Right.
Anyway, moving along, Google has created a research team to explore online security. So they have their Project Zero.
Yeah, I saw this the other day. They want to expose vulnerabilities quicker and alert the companies faster. Right? Am I getting all this right?
Yeah.
Hackers tend to do this type of stuff now, and not that they all do this, but they tend to give you like an ultimatum, and then we're going to release this to the public.
Give Google an ultimatum. They work for Google.
No. I'm saying the hackers that do this today, you know, is Google hiring up hackers to go out and do this, or are they just utilizing their own resources that they have right now?
They're hiring well-known security experts who are often former hackers.
Gotcha. I was going to say
actually,
that security
experts are current hackers.
That's right.
Yeah. I think I probably should rephrase that. They're hiring up people who have reputations for malicious hacking in the past or penetration testing, and they are hiring them to figure out how to exploit systems so that they can patch holes. So gotcha. they're essentially creating the next generation of sneakers.
Yeah.
I love that movie. Anyway.
My voice is my passport. So you
get another Stephen Tobolowsky.
Did they mention how they're going to decide who they're going to check to see if they have any vulnerabilities, or
they're giving the team, from what I gathered, they're giving the team open rein to decide that on their own.
So they decide to look at Facebook, let's say.
Yeah.
And tell Facebook that they have some vulnerabilities, right? Is that like an attack on Facebook? You know, are they going to publish these results publicly at some point that Facebook isn't up to date for their Heartbleed, you know, whatever, you know, stuff like that? Or is it
because they're sponsored by Google, think of the potential litigation if it's not done in the right way.
Yeah.
I think the idea is that they're going to look for vulnerabilities and then report which sites. So they're going to find something that may be common around the web. Mm-hmm. And instead of going after one company, they're going to say, okay, we've discovered this potential vulnerability and we've identified these companies that may be subject to this vulnerability.
Right.
If they single out one company or go after one specific implementation,
mm-hmm.
then they're going to be accused of what they don't want, which is one company singling out another. If they're going after specific types of vulnerabilities and they're saying, okay, we found 15 companies that had this vulnerability and we disclosed it to them, what they can say is that it's a service that Google's providing to try to make a more secure internet, and they're not looking at any one organization.
I could see them integrating this with their webmaster platform that they have out there. I know they recently were using this to alert the sites in the EU that they were taking down their or delisting their content from the search indexes because of the right to be forgotten laws that have been passed over there.
That's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah, but it was a mechanism to allow them to alert the owners of the site to say, hey, this has been brought up against you. We've taken this action, right? So I imagine they would be delivering this in somewhat a similar fashion.
Well, I suppose it depends on the organization.
Does
Facebook have a Google Webmaster Tools account?
I don't know. I'm
that would
not
be interesting,
sure.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be something. But I'm thinking they could probably inject these tests into whatever spiders they're using that they've built over the years to go out and do all of their indexing. It's just one other you know task in the queue that the spider will do and say, okay, as it's traversing these links, also give me this information about the web server. See if this vulnerability is detected on there and then report it back.
Well, if they do this part of the search, then that brings back shades of when they were accused of storing all sorts of Wi-Fi data accidentally, even though they weren't using.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm sure that that they're trying to keep this as a separate division where nothing they do is going to use, except maybe, you know, by connecting to the Google network, nothing's going to use any existing Google infrastructure. If they did, it goes back to some company is going to say that Google's attacking them.
I can already guarantee somebody's going to come out and say that Google's attacking them.
Yeah, but that's the advantage of saying this is a project, it's part of a research division, and we've isolated this project from any other part of Google.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if you as a webmaster can opt in to say, hey,
I'll opt in.
My site in the list and just alert me, you know, as soon as you can that there's something I need to fix.
I'd be fine with that as long as they're not exploiting it themselves.
Yeah,
I would be. They're not sharing the list with people who might want to. I'd love it if Google went and tried to bring my site down, and they'd probably be able to do it fairly easily because I assume I assume the people who are being hired for this are smarter than I am.
Yeah, I think I think that's the vast majority of people running websites out there. You know, a lot of these they're just not as up to date as they should be on their security patches and whatnot. So
I think I'm up to date on my security patches. I just think that there's something I didn't think of. I could be brought down by a denial of service attack. It doesn't matter how smart you are. Most companies are vulnerable to that sort of thing.
Yep.
So is it easy to bring down my site because I'm not paying enough in terms of resources? Probably. I'm not challenging any of you. Please don't try to bring down Andrew Buffet. I'm just saying that I'm not paying enough to my hosting provider to essentially accept your abuse.
Well, keep an eye on your traffic logs for the next couple of days to see what people actually try to do.
I do. I've come up with a system. If my server load goes up above a certain threshold, it uses pushover to send a push notification to my phone, which then forwards the push notification to my Pebble, which causes my arm to shake. Wow. So I essentially know very well when somebody's doing something mean to my server.
That's a nice little trick, though, I would say. All of a sudden, it's zapping your arm, saying, hey, something's going on here.
Well, even without that, the phone, it generates a phone notification. So
Still, it's a good solution, I think.
Yeah, admittedly, I'd like to put more in there. The problem with putting more in is, one, it takes time to figure out what to send. At one point, I set the threshold a bit too low, and every 5 seconds, my arm was vibrating. You just have to – it's one of these things where when you're setting up alert notifications for any sort of service, be it a server, be it for your bank. What you need to figure out what you can set that you will not annoy you every 5 minutes. And right. I've gone through plenty of things where something was really driving. I had this recurring appointment notification, and you can't dismiss the appointment notification from the watch, so you have to go back to the phone. And sometimes you're in a position where it's impolite to take out your phone, which is why you got the watch in the first place.
Right.
And you're sitting there every 5 seconds, your watch is vibrating because it wants to remind you that you haven't attended an appointment, which coincidentally is the appointment you're actually sitting in right now that you don't want to go and dismiss. This is one of those.
Circular dependencies going on there.
This is one of those first world problems, though.
Yeah.
I can't turn off the notification on my smartwatch because it requires my cell phone, which I've put in my pocket so that I would not appear to be rude, but every 5 seconds I'm disabling the vibration on my smartwatch. Anyway, but let's see. There was an article, the most popular Android apps that hog the most battery, data, and storage.
So name a few.
This was based on a study by AVG, who collected real usage data from their applications. So there's a little diagram here. Let me pull the diagram. And of course, they were using it as a way of encouraging their software. So most battery drain, Beep and Go.
Chat. Never heard of it.
That one I haven't heard. Chat On, which is Samsung's thing, I believe.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That you can't get off of your phone if you bought a Samsung device. All Share Cast Dongle. This is one of my favorites. This is Samsung's software that they bundle into their device to share to their All Share Cast Dongle, you know, their little thing that hooks up to a TV. So the majority of people,
stuff you can't get rid of, right?
Not only that, the majority of people don't have an All Share Cast Dongle.
I never even heard of it before you mentioned it right now. I mean, I've heard of the All Share Cast stuff, but I didn't realize that there was a dongle for it specifically. So
there is, but I have never met anybody who actually had said dongle. Right. However, I've been annoyed repeatedly when I had the X3, which went in the toilet. Basically, I was annoyed by offers to update the All Share Cast Dongle firmware app so that it could update the All Share Cast Dongle. However, I never had a dongle, so I don't know why this thing kept asking me to update itself. The next one, Samsung Smart View. Samsung appears to be very inefficient because going lower down the list, Samsung Watch on Mobile and Samsung Watch on Tablet. So basically, half the thing on here, happen to be Samsung related. Here's one, Candy Crush Saga. That one's fairly well known.
Well, it's taken up because your screen's on the whole time and people sit on that thing for hours at a time, it seems.
Yeah, most data usage, Netflix, not surprising.
Yeah.
The Kive, that one I don't know, or the Chive?
The Chive, yeah.
That one I'm not familiar with. What is that?
I think it's an online paper. Hold on.
Funny photos and videos.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised that the most data usage happens to be by Netflix.
Or anything that's going to give you streaming content of any type.
But number three is Reddit, Spotify, AT&T Smart Wi-Fi.
Oh, that thing is a pain.
What is AT&T Smart Wi-Fi?
Okay, so I have an AT&T phone. And yeah. if I have the Wi-Fi turned on and I roll into an area where they have an AT&T Wi-Fi hotspot set up,
yeah,
it will automatically try to connect to that thing. The problem is it is so freaking slow. So I always end up having to shut off the Wi-Fi at that point because it wants to connect to it, but I believe it even wants to prefer it over top of, like, you know, if you happen to be, say you're at a hotel and you're in the hotel Wi-Fi, you know, it'll want to, and you're in proximity to one of these other ones, it will try to connect to this AT&T Wi-Fi, and it's never fast at all. I mean, it always seems like it's just trying to connect, and it never connects. And I've had this now on multiple phones, the same exact experience happens. I just end up shutting it off because there's no way for me to get rid of this thing.
Well, why is it in the category for most data usage? If it's supposed to be...
I wonder what else it's doing.
Yeah. There's also Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram. Admittedly, none of those really surprised me. The Daily Mail is on there. Then we get to the most storage space, and most of the ones that do the most storage space are games. Mm-hmm. So you get The Simpsons, Tapped Out, Plants vs. Zombies 2. We have The Sims, FIFA 14. A lot of people playing soccer.
Yep.
Actually, in deference to where Jerry is, football. Want to be appropriate. But it's just interesting what uses storage space, what uses battery, and what uses data. And I think I've been fairly good in modulating my data use lately. But if I installed AT&T Smart Wi-Fi, that might be all out the window.
I would disregard it altogether. Yeah.
It doesn't let you disable it?
I can't get rid of it.
No, I'm saying in the app section where it allows you to disable apps.
I think the only thing you do is uninstall the updates for it, which takes you all the way back to whenever...
Yeah,
you know,
but sometimes they allow you, once you uninstall the updates, to hit disable.
I'll have to check it and see.
You could always get a Nexus.
Mine is through work, so...
I know, but I thought I'd offer. I remembered, you've mentioned that to me before, that you're...
Yeah, I would like to. I would like to. Because this one ain't getting any updates, so I can't get no watch. I can't get no, you know, anything.
Would you get a watch?
I would. I think I would.
I like it. You know, a 360, LG whatever, and a G-Watch.
I don't know. Asus is actually supposedly making one that's supposed to be out sometime in the fall.
And
I think I would wait.
They're pretty budget.
Yeah, and I think I would wait to see what they come out with, because I think the price points are wrong for these Wear watches. I think you need to get this down to like about between $99 and $129 to get people to want to buy them. So.
But let me ask you just a question, because I've heard people discussing this. Do you know how much of a nice, let's say, you know, watch that is not a smartwatch costs?
If you're just looking, I've seen ranges of things from, like, you know, $40-$50 to probably $200-$300, and they go. I know the price goes insane for watches. So
I'm just saying that if you figure that, you know, let's say a reinforced I just went on Amazon and looked up Casio. Mm-hmm. So they don't make luxury watches. Their watches are very functional.
Right.
So, you know, I'm seeing ranges from $50 to $100. And I'm even seeing ones, you know, when they get to the really fancy ones that go, you know, between $100 and $150.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if the premium for having, you know, a smartwatch is above what they're currently charging for a good, rugged, long-lasting, just plain analog or digital watch.
But in the end, this is just a watch that's going to pop up notifications for you. That's all it's going to do. And you're talking about paying roughly the same amount that you paid for your phone for the watch. You know what I mean?
Why do you think I waited until I was able to get a Pebble for $70?
Yeah.
Then it seemed like a better proposition.
I think they're going to miss the mark if they want this to continue.
But I'm interested. I never thought I'd buy the Pebble, but fell to where I was willing to do it. I don't know what the price would be and what the utility would be before I would be convinced to buy something like a G-Watch or something of that nature.
I even know right how I would use it immediately out the gate. And what I like about the option is, okay, I run a lot. I go out and run a lot. And yeah. I use the Runkeeper app on my phone. I have a sleeve that I slide up my arm and I drop my phone into it. And it is a pain to try and either pause the recording of the time or skip, you know, a track on the music playing at the same time, all while I'm trying to keep running. If I could just pull my wrist up and one, I could see the what's going on the route that I'm running on, let's say, or the time that I am in the current interval that I'm at, that'd be great. But then if I could just flip over and say, skip the track or pause the audio or whatever, you know, I mean, that would be great. It would be very helpful. Get it would be neat.
Get a Pebble. I can do that right now. It has a Runkeeper.
Yeah, maybe I will have to consider that then as well. Cause I was digging the idea of the Wear Watch for this. I mean, with the, I think this will eventually grow into other things, say like heart rate monitors and anything in this fitness, you know, space that's out there. But for right now, I mean, the first out the gate, you're already paying $250, $300 for these things, you know, $200 for the Samsung one. I don't know. I think it's wrong. I'm interested to see what the pricing is on the Motorola one.
Also, this is still young. You don't know what it will look like.
Yeah, next year. Right. That's true. That's
early adapters true. Always pay a premium.
Yep.
Moving along. Microsoft, unsurprisingly, has killed off Nokia Android phones.
I'm surprised it took them this long.
Well, they were already committed to LaRon, I guess.
I guess.
But I think it took them this long to figure out how can we send an update to all these people to force them to move over to Windows Phone. Because what they're doing is they're actually pumping Windows Phone to every Nokia Android device.
They have recently become a rather large account where I work.
Nokia or Microsoft?
Microsoft. And they were actually trying to make it a condition that all employees have their Surface tablets.
Really?
I was like, yeah, I was really kind of taken aback by that you're going to try to force this on us just to get our business. Okay.
You'd be surprised. I don't work in the department that handles contracts,
mm-hmm.
but they aren't that far from me in my place of business. I walked past them, and they were essentially arguing about one of them. And I'm not going to tell you what the company was or what exactly they're arguing about, other than I took a moment and said, wait a minute, they're asking for that?
Yeah.
And, you know, I knew enough about the terminology to know what it meant, but happy I'm not in that department. But
I said, sure, give it to me. It'll make a nice coaster for my coffee cup.
Can I install Linux on it?
Some of them, I think you can. I think you can.
Well, no, I'm saying Linux. That the contract says that, you know, all employees must carry one. Does mm-hmm. it require that it must remain in factory condition?
Right, right.
Can it be modded? The Google Play app downloads are rising. There are now 60% more downloads than iOS. See, if you're filling in for Jerry, this is when you go, meh, or...
I'm glad to see. I mean, it's not surprising. I mean, global market share for, you know, Android and the Google Play Store is... It trumps everything else that's out there. So, I mean, this only seems like, you know, a reasonable progression.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what the Android One program does in the developing world. I want to see if everybody in the developing world now has an Android phone that I can... I'm trying to figure out what I'd do if that happened.
But, I hope that I can, you know, at some point buy one of these. I mean, these things are going to be, you know, pretty decent quality and cheap. You know, I could use this as a developer phone. I mean, for stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, and it would be interesting. I was able to get, and I have it here somewhere... I'm not sure if you heard me complaining about my attempt to buy a Moto G and give it as a gift and discovering that I couldn't use a prepaid Moto G on a postpaid plan.
I don't recall.
So I decided I'm going to use the thing and leave it in my living room to transmit music to my stereo.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately, interesting return policy on that. But the thing caught, Best Buy was selling this Moto G for $50. They had this promotion one weekend, and they did, you know, there are people who bought these things just to use as music players,
mm-hmm.
or they bought them to use as something else. It could be my remote control. I can get one of those Logitech Harmony things that allows you to use a smartphone as your remote and have the Moto G sitting on top of it.
Right.
No more Harmony remote. That would be interesting. But
probably easier to program.
I don't know. I've heard mixed reviews of the Logitech smartphone app. But I haven't actually
tried it. That's what I mean. Logitech, at least from a Linux standpoint, Logitech stuff never really fully supported for when it comes to configuring those things.
Yeah, well, hopefully the Android app would do it much better, but you never know. But if you can get a phone in the United States for $50, and admittedly that's with the idea that Verizon was subsidizing it, which is probably why they wouldn't let me use it on a postpaid plan. The whole idea is if you can get phones, you know, even if you look at the Moto G unlocked on Amazon, it's 100, you know, the Moto E and the Moto G are, you know, between $100 and $200. You have the Blue phones, which are in that price range.
Mm-hmm.
Micro Center, who I happen to visit for many computer parts, is now selling Blue phones in store. The only place I've ever actually seen them on display.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's interesting when you can go in there and look at a Blue phone. I don't even know where my Blue phone is, the one that I played with for a while. Probably back in the box. Want to buy a Blue phone? I'll give you a good deal.
I can't do anything with it.
Just play with it. No, it was a worthwhile experiment, and I have it in the event I leave the country, which is why I'm keeping it, but we'll see what happens. I do have the Nexus 5 for that, but interestingly enough, the people at Ting told me that there's some sort of odd problem when it switches from CDMA to GSM, that sometimes it needs a reset. I'd hate to be in a foreign country resetting my phone.
Oh, yeah.
That would annoy me.
Yeah.
I've done weirder things, but it would not be a good time. But anyway, if phones continue to grow, you could probably get yourself a reasonably good cheap phone. You can get yourself a Moto E now. Do you know what the list price is of a Moto E?
No, what is it?
Well, this is what Amazon is for. The Moto E, a global GSM, or US GSM, is $129.99.
That's not bad.
Now, if you wanted the G, the Moto G global GSM is $196.91 for 16 gigabytes, $179 for 8. And if you wanted the Moto G Universal 4G LTE, so they now have an LTE version, you can get 8 gigs for $219. I think that's the only one. So for $219, you get a phone that is Universal 4G, supports 3G HSPA+, and supports 2G networks also. It supports LTE bands 2, 4, 5, and 17, UMTS 850, 900, 1700, 1900, 2100. GSM 850, 900, 1800, and 1900. That's not bad.
No.
And
I did see that there's a that the potential updated G+1 or whatever they're calling their monikers now was the screenshots were leaked for it. So
yeah,
possible.
But the phone, as I said, I have a G that's sitting here that's reasonably good. Mm-hmm. And admittedly, I'm using it without any of the cellular part of it.
Right.
But I was thinking of trying an experiment. I know a guy who works for Mozilla, I think that's where he's working now, who does not actually have a smartphone. He walks around with a cellular hotspot and an iPod Touch.
Okay.
I think it would be an interesting experiment.
I'm not sure why he would want to. He doesn't want to get phone calls anywhere?
Oh, he doesn't believe in phone calls.
Oh, okay.
So he doesn't talk to people. I just thought it was interesting. It's an interesting way to live. Do we need voice anymore? Do you want to talk?
No, I guess only and most things, you know, people don't talk anymore. So most things.
No, I'm saying specifically mobile voice. For example, if you're in your house on Wi-Fi, you could go and use some sort of voice over IP protocol to talk to somebody directly.
I try to get people to use Hangouts all the time for this and that, you know.
I'm just saying,
for that reason.
Do you need, traditional telephone service or even traditional mobile telephone service? Could you carry everything over data? I think that's an interesting conversation.
It's coming, I want to say.
Well,
I look forward to the day when they don't have separate text and data plans, when everything is really just a data plan.
Well, it's voice that's really using it up. But they're getting there. Once VoLTE is deployed everywhere, the likelihood is you'll see that.
Right.
Let's see what else we have here. Oh, yes. Google added the flag is inappropriate link to the web Play Store. Previously, you couldn't say that anything was inappropriate on the web. You had to do that on your phone. So now if something's inappropriate, you can say so on the web.
Where? In the Play Store?
Exactly.
Okay.
And this one has been a long-standing conversation on this show. It is apparently being said that an Amazon Video for Android app is imminent.
Yeah, I posted about this on Google Plus the other day that finally. I don't know what it took them so long, but...
Well, we've probably been talking about it on the show out of 210 episodes.
Yeah.
We've probably been talking about it for the majority of them. At least since the Netflix app came out.
Can I go back to the last story one sec real quick?
The flag's inappropriate?
Yeah, but because they also added other flags that they're going to do out there now for games that will have in-app purchases.
Well, they'll no longer be labeled as free.
Yes. They'll indicate that they are, you know, free to download, but they will, you know, if, you know, you be aware that you could be charged for the what you buy in the game.
Well, I appreciate that, especially considering how many people have racked up bills or have their children rack up bills.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Admittedly, I don't have children, nor have I ever racked up a bill myself. But
I make sure I keep an eye on my daughter has a tablet and the other one has a Chromebook. And, I make sure that I watch to look for the things that they're putting on. I mean, mostly my 6-year-old is just finding games to play. She's not actually going out and downloading. And any videos she watches are on the kids section of Netflix. So,
where you know, you've already paid.
Yeah, right. In that case, we're okay. But the older one, she wants to try and, you know, download either music or movies and stuff like that. I'm like, you got to earn it for one. So
which Chromebook is it, by the way?
She has the Acer one, but my wife has the Samsung one.
The the newer one or the older?
It's an older one at this point.
The one with the Exynos?
I don't recall. I want to say yes.
Because I just got an open box discounted deal on an HP Chromebook 14 with mobile capabilities.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I had this long-standing conversation with Micro Center, and they're having their annual Let's Get Rid of All Our Floor Models sale.
Ah.
So I was able to get this Chromebook 14 cheap, and because it has a SIM card slot and a T-Mobile SIM, it's T-Mobile's 200 megabyte for life offer.
Oh, cool.
So essentially, wherever there isn't Wi-Fi, I can just pull this thing out.
Right.
Yeah, I thought it was a nice little investment. And besides, I got so annoyed with the C710 Chromebook that I turned it into a Fedora book.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to have something that actually has Chrome on it, because it took me a while, but I think I figured out how to solve my biggest complaint with using Chrome OS.
Was that the SSH issue?
No, I didn't have a problem with SSH.
It was IRC. I thought you... IRC. Oh, okay, I gotcha.
The SSH client is actually pretty good. So basically what I figured out is I'm going to be running my own web-based IRC program.
Mm-hmm.
In order to... Because there is no decent native client Chrome app that does IRC. I come up with really insane ways to solve my problems.
Is it just for Freenode? I think Freenode has a web client.
I run a bouncer, so I need something that will connect to my bouncer.
Oh, okay.
So basically, also, I forget how it's pronounced, Bittleby. I have a piece of software that converts chat clients into IRC.
Mm-hmm.
So I pegged that onto the same system because I have one person who refuses to leave AOL Instant Messenger.
I would drop the person.
Yes. I don't want to talk to them on AOL Instant Messenger. So my solution is to turn AOL Instant Messenger into IRC, so it's inside my IRC client.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what we do to talk to people.
Yeah.
But not my fault that they're afraid of every other form of communication except the one they've used for 10 years.
Yeah, that kind of baffles me. I didn't think anybody was on AOL Instant Messenger anymore.
I actually, surprisingly, I can tell you that turning on, keeping it on, I can tell you that right now there are currently 10 people connected up to my old account. Of course, most of them I haven't spoken to in a long time. Hey, my brother's still logged into it there. No wonder I didn't notice he was there. I don't talk to him either. Actually, I do talk to him, but he fortunately also uses something else I use.
Which is?
No, he has a Hangout account, which is where I do a lot more communication because it's much more battery efficient. So, there are people on there. Good to know. Anyway, moving along, Tasker was updated with 33 new features. Do you use Tasker?
I have it, but there are other ones that do the simpler tasks for me automatically, so I don't use it. Well,
that's basically the same reason I don't use it.
Yeah, I have the... it's now called Trigger, and I have Alarm, and the two of them together handle all that I need to do with that type of stuff.
Well, that's the problem is Tasker is very powerful,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes you don't want that many settings.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes that's a bit more complicated. I installed a program that knows when I've scheduled something on a calendar and mutes my volume, and that's all I really want it to do. So I have a calendar that has my recurring work schedule.
Mm-hmm.
It knows when I'm at work, so it mutes my phone.
Right.
If I forget to change my time, I can always override it. So it's
I use NFC tags for that type of stuff too.
I tried that. I haven't played with NFC in a while. I had a few problems with it, and I sort of backed off. Today, though, I finally gone back to playing with Qi.
Mm-hmm.
Have you Qi'd?
No.
You're Qi-less. Well, I had the hardest time because I can never. If you've ever familiarized yourself with what Qi is. It's a series of well, it's Qi wireless charging. It's a series of coils inside usually a flat pad.
Oh yes, yes.
So most of the cheaper coils and the ones that you would get on Amazon, it's one coil, which means you have to align your phone perfectly with this coil.
Okay.
So I found one, and it just came today. I ordered it. That is reasonably inexpensive. That actually has three coils in it. So because it has three coils, you can put it in easier places, and you won't have as much of a problem.
Oh, okay.
Now Jerry, by comparison, has the Tilt, which is a little more expensive. The Tilt, I think, has five coils in it.
Wow.
So basically, the idea is there are other issues with the Tilt, but basically, the more coils you have in there, the easier it is to center your thing on a coil because you take it's more surface area.
Right.
But we'll see what happens. I think that was the problem I had with the cheap ones. They have one coil. You have to align it basically on the target or it won't charge. And that's a pain in the neck because you bump your phone and all of a sudden your phone isn't charging anymore and it's dead in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have anything that supports that standard yet. So
soon. You'll get there. I have faith.
I hope so. I'm trying to get them to get me something new at work. So
Let's see what else we have. Maps was updated. It now adds voice actions and navigation mode.
Yeah, I just checked as we were on here, and it did update on my tablet.
Do you navigate a lot?
I do all the time. Any appointment I have, I put an address in for so that the Google Now will pop up and tell me it's going to take you this long to get to that destination. Do you want to navigate there? That type of stuff. So I mount my. This comes back to the NFC. Is I mount my. My Nexus 7 tablet on a dock that I can move from car to car, and in the because it's just like a ProClips has this movable component to their mounting system that allows you to pop out the, you know, for this phone or this tablet and drop in the other one so my wife can go into this car, or I can take this one over into the other car, drop it in there. And then what I end up doing is I tap my phone against the NFC tag, which turns on the Wi-Fi hotspot. And allows the tablet then to get all of the data coming through the Wi-Fi hotspot. And so when I have that in place, it's usually playing a podcast or music, and most likely has the maps going. You know, I don't do it every day going to work or anything like that. But if I see that there's going to be, you know, traffic around somewhere, I may throw it in. Like they just started paving the one main road that I take to where I need to go to, and it's about a 20-minute commute for me to work. And there was no way they were letting me turn left onto this road. So I had to find some way that I had never gone before to where I work at. And, you know, just having that right there. And I can just say, you know, if I'm on the home screen, I just say, okay, Google, take me to work. And it navigates me to work and it just reroutes. Then as I start making wrong turns to get around, you know, can't turning left onto this one road it wants me to turn onto.
Well, I want you to go and try some of these voice commands.
Mm-hmm.
The next time
I'm going, yeah, I'm planning on it. Specifically the one that is what's the traffic look like ahead of me, you know, to see if it's going to tell me. We go down to Philadelphia quite a bit, specifically to see like the Flyers play, and we just like to hang out down there. But you know, certain roads leading into Philadelphia are the worst. You can't get on 76 and expect to be, you know, through that roadway in a reasonable amount of time.
So you're going to try how's traffic ahead, what time will I get there, and what's the show traffic works, what's my next turn?
Yeah, I'm going to try them all. Until,
no, I want to hear how it works out.
Yeah, I want to check and see. I got to go find the exact list of all the ones that they found so far. I imagine there's other ones in there.
Yeah, there's one in the link that I put into the show notes, which I sent mm-hmm. you a copy of, where yep. it shows the strings. Mute voice guidance. What time will I get there?
Oh, that's
how's nice. Traffic that's ahead. Nice. Yeah. Show a route overview. What's my next turn? Show traffic. Navigate to string. Directions to string.
Can you say like walking directions to or
that
public?
That not on this list that I have.
Transit directions to? Because I know I periodically do have to come up to New York for work. And when I get out of the subway, it would be nice just to be able to say, hey, show me walking directions to.
Well, I have a solution. All you have to do is send me a text communication through Hangouts and I will guide you.
Okay. Usually it's not too far, but I know that for some reason, whenever I get up out of the subway,
you can't figure out what
I am turned around. I am turned around, and I usually end up. It takes me a good half a block walking in the wrong direction to say, "Oh, I need to go back the other way." So,
well, you go to Lower Manhattan where the streets aren't necessarily numbered, right?
Not anymore. The office moved uptown. We're up in. It's right off of. Where's it at?
I don't know. You didn't tell me.
It's the Avenue of the Americas. So it's 6th Avenue.
Yeah. So
and what's I'm trying to think of what the cross street is.
What, 40s,
like
50s?
53rd. It's like 6th Avenue and 53rd. Right. Well, Museum of Modern Art, we're right next to the MoMA up there.
Okay. So basically, the best thing to do is to look to see which way is uptown and which way is downtown. And once you figure that out, you can orient yourself pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So you just have to make sure you can figure out which way is up.
Yeah.
So maybe that.
I usually come out of the subway right by where the Dave Letterman Theater is.
Oh, well, there, nice area.
So it's just I end up crossing the, you know, what is it, Broadway right there and going the wrong way. And then I say, oh, I got to go back the other way. So,
well,
but now I think I'm pretty good.
He's leaving soon. So you'll need a little mark. Actually, the theater is the Ed Sullivan
Theater.
It's the Ed Sullivan Theater.
Yes. Yeah.
So what you want to do is go inside and ask to speak to Ed.
Yeah.
I don't think he's still there, though.
And just roll his ghost down.
Yeah, it's quite possible. Letterman retiring. Colbert is supposedly taking over, but I don't know if he's using the theater. Probably will.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Let's see. Sprout Now app has been launched. You can watch full episodes with a subscription.
Now, this is a pain, right, to do this. This is what HBO Go does and stuff like that.
Well, all now, these ones are doing it now.
My kids will watch the Sprout stuff here and there, you know, and to have them have to sign in to the RCN, our stupid cable company here,
but do you which have to I've sign complained in
about on multiple podcasts. Well, yeah, you have to sign in. It takes you to a sign-in page that is branded for your cable company. At least that's how HBO Go did it. So I imagine Sprout is doing the same thing.
But once it does you don't have to do it repeatedly. It remembers it sends a token back that remembers the credentials.
Not all the time. Not all the time it does.
No, I'm saying the ones that work correctly do.
Well, this was HBO Go, and that's what I'm basing it off of. And I had to continually sign into that thing. And I have a password generator that generates my passwords. I use LastPass. So, I mean, it was a pain to try, and this was when I was trying to do it on the Google TV. LastPass wasn't supported on the Google TV, and to remember this you know, freaky long, you know, password was not convenient at all. So
I have the same problem on the Roku.
Yeah.
But basically, if it does it right, it'll generate a token, and you only have to do it once.
Oh, believe me, I mean, I implemented this type of stuff before. I know the technology behind it, but that was not implemented correctly the way where I was using it prior.
I will agree.
But and it's also not gonna be beneficial for my kid to have to try to log in to my RCN account. You know,
I'd say try it once. If it keeps asking you for the password over and over again,
yeah,
uninstall it.
These paywalls, man, I tell you.
Well, I get annoyed. I would drop cable if not for one thing.
Me too.
I have to deal with Time Warner Cable. Nobody else will give me the speed that I need. You know, I run VoIP at home for work, so I need a certain level of quality or I'll sound horrible to people. And, of course, it doesn't hurt for this podcast. And Time Warner just upped my bandwidth to 100 down, 10 up.
Nice.
Well, actually, I'm paying for 200 down, 20 up, but currently there is no commercially available cable modem that can support it.
So are they...
crediting me?
Yeah.
Have you ever met anybody at Time Warner Cable?
No, and I don't intend to.
Yeah.
I've heard too many stories from you about issues with them, and as well as other people in New York and what their dealings with Time Warner are.
Well, the thing is that they've authorized I could go and have them deliver a modem to me and then pay them $7 a month for it. The only modem that they've authorized for, I have essentially an 8 bonded channel modem.
Mm-hmm.
They need a 16 bonded channel modem. That's a lot of bonded channels.
And they don't make that, you said.
Oh, they do. The cable companies can buy them. They've certified one for commercial use for personal ownership, which is the SB6183.
Okay.
They've advised that the SB6183 will be commercially available sometime in July 2014.
Huh.
Guess what? What month is it?
Hey, it's right now.
And is it commercially available?
Doesn't sound like it.
Well, you can go on apparently on eBay and attempt to buy one there. But I'm a little wary of trying to buy a cable modem on eBay. Also, they don't seem to have any.
What did you say the model was?
It's an SB6183. It's an Aris.
I have a Motorola here sitting here that's no longer being used. SB6141.
Yeah, the 6141 is an 8 bonded channel. That's the same as the one I have.
Oh, okay.
But the 6183 is apparently not... Now, the interesting thing is that Time Warner is getting them. They must be locking up the market on buying them, because usually you can find these things for commercial sale, especially if the company that authorized it says they're available for commercial sale. Either way, I'm at 110, which is more than I thought I'd get. So
gotcha.
I could last a few months. I haven't done anything with 110. I feel like I should be uploading my entire library here to some remote server for the purpose of backup and archiving, just because I have 10 megabits up, and what else would I do with it?
Right.
Well, today I heard Verizon Fios is doing symmetrical bandwidth. They're apparently the first national provider that is essentially doing both download and upload speeds.
At the same.
There was an announcement today, but I don't get Fios, so it didn't really affect me, but I thought it was interesting.
It's not going to be in my area anytime soon, I can tell you that.
Not here either. It's across the street. So if I look out of my front window, I can see a house that has Fios.
Really?
I'm not talking about figuratively. Literally across the street.
Yeah. No, I get you.
That's really frustrating.
Every competitor to RCN runs down the road that you turn off of onto my street, but yet, since it's all underground, they won't allow anybody to come in and run their own lines. So
it's so close, yet so far.
Yep.
And finally, Chrome for Android was updated, and you now get Google Doodles on new tabs, which has made me think that it might be time to try Firefox for Android again. Just because. Every so often I say, I'm going to go back to Firefox.
I just updated that right now too, but I'm not seeing the Google Doodle anywhere.
It's Google Doodles on new tabs.
Yeah, I just hit a new tab and it just takes me up to the recent tabs that shows me what's on all the other devices.
Maybe there's a setting for it. Doodles return to the new tab page is one of the listed what's new.
It just updated. Yeah.
But it's been Chrome for Android has been annoying me again, which is why I'm thinking of leaving again. I may come back.
I haven't had any issues with it lately. Actually, Firefox on here was causing me problems, and I stopped using it.
Well, I figured it was time for a change, so I'll go back to Firefox for a bit, maybe go back to Dolphin for a time. I just get annoyed where every time I load the thing up, it's been rendering a completely blank web page.
Oh, yeah.
And I tried clearing the Chrome settings, but it keeps doing it. It's driving me crazy. Hmm. Anyway, that brings us to the end of our program for this week. I hope you enjoyed our special guest host.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Well, you should come back more often. You're always welcome.
I will gladly try to.
So what are you working on professionally right now or for the general community that you would like to advise people that they might find you at?
Well, professionally at work, it's been crazy. We're going through a big migration. But you can find me mostly on Google+. That's where I tend to check things and post things, not as often.
Well, I'm welcome there now.
Yes, you can be whatever name you want to be. You can find me on the Linux Link Tech Show every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. at tllts.org, or you can find me over on the PodNuts Network on Health Nuts with Chad Wallenberg. Those are the shows that I'm doing right now. Unfortunately, the Myth TV cast is defunct. Let's just say defunct. We don't have any plans to do any new ones lately. I actually had my back end system power supply died the other day, so I had to rebuild that over the past week.
I'm very sad. It was one of my favorite podcasts.
I would like to do it again, but there's just not enough to talk about on a weekly basis or biweekly basis about what's going on there, you know?
Well, I always wanted to expand and talk about, you know, the whole field, not just Myth TV, but the whole idea of non-traditional cable. I know, you know, admittedly, when I started saying I wanted to do that, there were fewer other people doing that.
Right.
But, you know, the whole idea, you know, the general cord cutting idea from most of these shows have very similar perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that I knew a lot of people who had, you know, more of a builder perspective to it.
Right.
Which is, you know, what can we hack together? What can we find? How can we use devices in different ways? How can we, you know, essentially, how can we come up with crazy ways to make sure we watch everything that we want to watch? So, you know, sort of the zany part of it. And I keep saying that if I could ever find anybody who was willing to commit to that, I would go and do it. You know, I don't want to go crazy and have 15 podcasts, but I said I would. I've been saying for a while that was one I would do if I found somebody interested. So my offer to the general Android Buffet listening public, if anybody is interested in exploring that concept, you know where to find me. And, of course, Jerry is always open for people who are interested in resurrecting his now-defunct Bitcoin podcast, the Merkle Tree podcast, which never had a reportable episode. Well, it didn't work out. He's not listening, don't worry. He never listens to the show. Even when he's on it, he doesn't listen to the show. He's admitted, I don't think he's ever actually downloaded a recording of a complete episode.
Right.
Well, do you listen to a show you're on? Do you listen
to it? I used to, but I had stopped.
No, I'm saying
I have too many other things in my queue to listen to. So
I can understand you listening when you weren't on.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I could understand Jerry for listening this week when he isn't here to see what happened while he was away.
Right.
I don't think he will, though, because he's admitted that he never remembers to do that. Then again, what else are you going to do in Ecuador?
Right.
I don't know. Do you know what the sites and activities are in La Carmen?
I do not.
Or is it La Carmen or El Carmen? I suppose that depends on whether or not Carmen is male or female.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'll look it up. He mentioned to me where it was, but I forgot from last week. Anyway, it's been fun having you. I don't want you to be a stranger, and you know where to find me if you need me, so you're always welcome to say, I have something I feel like I want to talk about this week. Can I stop by?
I will keep that in mind, and I thank you for that.
I enjoy having you, and I think Jerry has enjoyed you back way back in episode 146, the last time that we saw you, and you're always welcome to join us, and I want to give a shout-out to Murph, who's in the chat room this evening.
Hey, Murph. It's been a long time since I've seen him, too.
Well, he did invite me this weekend to attend Hope. And unfortunately, my plans for this coming weekend had to be switched to this weekend because what I planned on doing next weekend, I couldn't do next weekend, so I had to do it this weekend.
Gotcha.
So I didn't get to attend Hope. Although, you know, I admit, and I mentioned it last week, I'm not sure if I'd, you know, admittedly Murph seemed to think I would, and I trust his judgment. I'm not sure if it's a crowd I would have things in common with. Possible, though. I'm not really necessarily the... Did you look at their speaker list?
I did not.
They had They had Daniel Ellsberg and Edward Snowden. So the guy who broke the Pentagon Papers. And, of course, Snowden is a little more current.
Gotcha.
They had, you know, just going down, your right to whisper. You've lost privacy. Now they're taking anonymity. AKA whistleblowing is dead. Get over it. Wireless network. Will it blend? How evil software clogs the pipes. When you are the adversary. No, I'm just saying this seems... While certainly all these sound very interesting, this just seemed a bit too hardcore for me.
Right.
Murph said the speakers were awesome. Unmasking a CIA criminal. The sex geek as culture hacker. The many faces of Locksport. So basically, this, as I said, it seemed a bit hardcore for me, but I did have something else to do. That wasn't because I didn't want to see Murph. I haven't seen Murph in a while. So there's always next time. We'll see. Anyway, you know that if you attend Hope that you end up on a secret government watch list along with all the people who read the Linux Journal.
Really?
Oh, didn't you hear the NSA was monitoring?
I did hear about the Linux Journal thing. Yeah. So
I'm sure that that people attending Hope fall into the same peak interest category. That's not a reason for me not to go. Honestly, I think that the NSA would find me particularly boring, so they might as well waste their time on me. Actually, I'd rather they didn't. I'd rather they go out and look for actual legitimate people who are threats. But you can't have everything. So that brings us to the end of the podcast. We can be found again at androidbuffet.com. You know, you always want to start with the canonical URL for us. And of course, should you be on any of those social network silos where you've locked yourself into, I figure we're talking about Hope, I might as well do a little speaker-like paranoia, where you are locked into a prison of your own data. Am I being too dramatic, you think?
Nah, you're good.
Okay, so when if you believe in communicating with us in one of those particular prisons, we are available on Facebook, where you may communicate with us at facebook.com/AndroidBuffet and peek a little through the bars of freedom over to the Android Buffet website. Same thing if you are on Google+, like Dan here, you can find us at +AndroidBuffet. Of course, over on Twitter, it's @AndroidBuffet. And if you can find another social network that will take us, we'll see what we can do. If you would like to send us an email, that's podcast@androidbuffet.com. We continue to be available through voicemail at 2012 Wenica, although nobody's called us in ages. If you prefer a higher fidelity version of your voice when we replay you, of course, you have the ability to record a file, attach it, and send it over. I believe that covered everything. We are a member of the Tech Podcast Network. We don't do that much with them, but it's a bunch of people who have tech podcasts, and we are one of them.
Sounds good.
Yeah. You know that you can check out some of their other exciting podcasts. For example, this week's episode of the Lou Trek Show, where, let's see, it is episode number, here we are. They're reviewing Heart of Glory, season 1, episode 20 of The Next Generation. And there are Klingons. Anyway, go listen. I think we covered everything.
I think so.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us. Come again.
I will.
And just remember that participating in this podcast may make you subject to certain mailing lists or confidential government lists of people who listen to Android Buffet podcasts. So be prepared.
I think I can manage.
Okay. Any final words before we say goodnight?
Nope. I think I've said what I need to.
Okay. That's a good way to end the podcast. You've said all that you've had to say.